Heavenly Father, this morning we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you for your presence that's already here in this place. And today as we celebrate your resurrection, Lord, I thank you that our hearts and our minds would just be open and ready to receive from you what you have for us here today. Lord, may we truly open up our hearts to receive from you. And Father, I thank you that all distractions will be gone in Jesus' name. I thank you for the work that you are doing in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to begin looking at Mary Magdalene. Now, this is part three of Who Do You Say I Am? Who do you say I am? And we've looked at several characters in the New Testament, and I want to look at Mary Magdalene as well. And see, Mary never got over her encounters with Jesus. From the time that Jesus delivered her from the seven demons that were living inside of her, all the way to when she saw the Lord after he was resurrected. She never got over those encounters. You know how I know that? Because when you encounter Jesus, you know. And so Mary being that one to see Jesus after he rose, you know, she actually got to speak to Jesus in the garden. And so before we keep going, I want us to turn our attention to the screen and we'll hear from her.
It was quiet when we approached the tomb. Days before, there was noise wherever we went. Crowds cheering, sometimes yelling. But now, in front of his tomb, just silence. I had gathered all my spices and oils, intending to anoint the body. But when I got there, he was gone. Jesus changed my life. Ever since the day that I met him in Galilee, he rescued me. And I followed him ever since, all the way to his death. But there was the tomb, and it was empty. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. I turned and there was a gardener, and I asked him if he knew where they had taken Jesus' body. But I recognized it was Jesus. It was my Lord. He taught us that his sheep would recognize his voice, and I knew him. I knew him the minute he said my name. I dropped to my knees. What else could I do but cling to him? I never wanted to let him out of my sight. But no, he had different plans for me. He wanted me to let the others know about the good news. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me, shouting like an excited child. He did it! He really did it! Yes. To think that I had come to anoint a dead man, and I left with proof that he is the overcomer of everything. All of us, can never beat fear, sorrow, sin, definitely not death. Death. He beat death. Who do I say that he is? I know who he is. Oh, I know who he is. He said that he would rise. And He most certainly is risen. He is the Savior. He is the one true God.
See, when you have that encounter with Jesus, you are left with that question that he asks himself. Who do you say I am? And for Mary, at that moment, she knew. Many things began to come together for her. I can only imagine what she was thinking at that moment when she realized that it was the Lord, and how her thoughts were racing. And you know, there's a lot that Bible scholars don't know about Mary Magdalene, but one thing we do know is that she was the very first person to see the Lord. In Mark 16:9, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. And you know this phrase here, you know, that's how a lot of times she's identified, because the first time that she's mentioned is in Luke's gospel, and he records this identifier for her being that person who got delivered. We look in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. It says, soon after, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. You know, this passage lets us know that Mary and some of the other women who had been impacted deeply by Jesus, they didn't just follow him, they supported him. Because that's what we read there. They supported him with their own means, out of their own means. The provision that they gave him helped sustain his ministry. And so that was a sign of gratefulness that Mary had by following Jesus and giving to Jesus. She was showing her gratefulness. And you know, the thing is that when we follow Christ, when we give our hearts fully over to him, we give our life to him because he was that sacrifice and we're that living sacrifice, we should give our hearts fully, 100% to him and show our gratefulness. Show people should know, they should see that we are grateful to be following the Lord. And Mary followed Jesus all the way to being crucified on the cross. How grateful was Mary? You know, here she was a demon-possessed person in the beginning before Jesus touched her. And you have to realize it, in those times when you were possessed with the devil and you did some crazy stuff, people pretty much thought you were crazy, and you were ostracized. You were left alone. People didn't want to be around you, didn't want to be near you. So they were kind of just left over. You know, sometimes a family member or something may come and try to help or you know, because families still love them and that sort of thing. But for the most part, that no one knew what to do with them. And so they would just, you know, shove them aside. And so, you know, that had to be a very traumatic experience for her. And so she was so grateful for being touched by God and by Jesus, you know, delivering her from all of that oppression, delivering her from the loneliness, the depression, the oppression, all the things that was going on with her. And she was so grateful, she followed him all the way to the end. And three of the Gospels record that Mary Magdalene was there at the cross. Her name is mentioned. I was looking at a little chart from a Bible scholar who had shown how the Gospels were written, and he was showing out who was there at the time of the cross. Mary Magdalene has the most mentions in the Scripture of being present there at the cross. When many had no doubt, out of fear, left Christ at that moment, Mary Magdalene was there. I mean, that's just awesome. So her place in history is cemented. I want to read from the, John chapter 20 of this account of how she came and she was bringing oil and spices. And the account in Luke tells us that they were bringing to anoint the body of Christ. But in John gives us some just extra words there that I really love this account. So let's begin in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Now, the other disciple, in case you're wondering, is John. John is the one writing this. All the scholars, you know, will tell you, and Bible historians will tell you that this is John. He refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. I just love that. That's just so great. So he's the other disciple. He wouldn't refer to himself by name. So, and they were going towards the tomb. In verse 4, both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, of course. Oh yeah, I'm writing this. I was the fastest. So John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooped to look in. He saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. That is awesome. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Hallelujah. And she wept. She stopped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." This gets me, because when Peter and John had left, Mary stayed weeping. Because of the impact that Jesus had on her life and how she followed Jesus, supporting him, giving to him, loving him with all of her might, with all of her being, she had to stay. She couldn't leave because of how much Jesus had impacted her life. Imagine the emotions that she had. She had just seen Jesus before on the cross, and the trauma of seeing Jesus, the one who had set her free, done so much for her, dying, she was already upset about that. But now, the body of Jesus is not there. Who she had served in life, she came to serve in death, and she can't even do that because he's gone. All these emotions are running through her. She's got to be traumatized, standing there and weeping. And the reason this was so upsetting for her, because see, the Jewish culture at the time believed that the spirit of a man stayed with him for 3 days after death in the tomb. And so what she wanted to do was come and bring these spices, this oil and spices, and anoint the body of Christ before his spirit left, so his spirit would recognize the body. This is what the Jews believed. Now we know this is not true, but this is what she believed. And if you believed that, she believed that she wasn't going to have her opportunity to anoint the Lord's body, and how important it was before his spirit was left. So we look in John chapter 20, starting in verse 14 again, and we continue on. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Get this. What do you know? Where is he? I don't care where he is and who's holding him, if thieves, if they're armed, it doesn't matter. I'm going. I need to know where he is. Where is he laying? Because I will go to the ends of the earth for my Lord. Oh man, that's awesome. That's powerful. Then we continue. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And then he had said these things to her. Oh, this is good. Just like she said in the video, when Jesus calls you by name, you know it. My sheep knows my voice. That's what Jesus had said. So if you know the Lord, if you've given your life over to him, when he calls you by name, you know it. And you know, when you hear the voice of the Lord, what should be your response? What should be my response? How should we respond when we hear our name called? We look here in the account of Matthew, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Now that was Mary and some of the other women that were with her, behind her, and they fell, and they worshiped. How do I know they clung to the feet? Now see, the word worship means to prostrate. This word in the Greek right here, to prostrate oneself. You put your head to the ground. Your forehead touches the ground in worship. Why? Because in the Orient at that time, in the Persians, the culture was that, you know, if you go up to someone of equal stature, you would go up and maybe get kiss on the cheek. You know, if someone was a little higher, you might do a little more and give a little bow. But if you were inferior to someone else and someone had a way higher stature than you, your head hit the ground. That's how you would greet someone else. So she was giving the most powerful form of worship, the most powerful form of greeting in that time, which was on knees, head on ground, to worship. When we have an encounter, when Jesus calls us by name, when we feel his presence, when we come, we should worship him. Our response should include worship before the Lord. Why do we worship the Lord? Because he's Savior of the world, the one and only Son of God. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is risen. And we say that's who Jesus is. So we worship him. Amen. That's our response. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit. Jesus, when he had resurrected, he appeared to many. He appeared to many. Paul even says that at one point he appeared to 500. We don't know exactly when that was or where that was, but he appeared to 500 all at once during his last days on the earth after being resurrected. So he appeared to many others as well. So we have hundreds that Jesus had appeared to. But I want us to look at the ascension when Jesus finally went to heaven. In that last account, and we look at Luke this time, in chapter 24 and verse 44, because there's some words here, some things that Christ says that's very important. Then he said to them, these are my words and that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So Jesus' followers went from here to Jerusalem to be endued with power from the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And we see this as well in the second writing of the ascension. I want to read this here. I know this is a lot of scripture, but there's a point to this. Acts 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theopolis, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles which he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering, many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So this 40-day period, Christ is appearing to many people, but at the end, he's given some last instructions to his disciples, and we don't know how many other followers were there seeing him before he's speaking. In verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized but water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. These accounts of the ascension are extremely important because it shows us that the church was going to have a responsibility after Jesus left. What was the responsibility? In Luke, we see here, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. See, he sent them to Jerusalem. He said, from here, you're going to go out and you're going to proclaim the repentance for sins in my name. This was the mission that he gave. You're going to proclaim. You're going to be my witnesses. And see, we're to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is, guess what? You can have a relationship with God. By doing what? By repenting. Repentance means just simply this: change your thinking. Change your mind. Don't think the way you thought before. Think different. Think this now, that Jesus is the Son of God who came and died for you and me. Now he breached the gap. We can have a relationship with him. Now we're to serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now we're to serve him with everything. We're to give it all. That's what that means. So that's our mission. That's our job, to proclaim and be witnesses. This is our response to that question: who do we say he is? Because if we are saying he is the Messiah, we should proclaim it. We should proclaim it. I want to look what happened next in Acts 1. We continue in verse 15. This is in the upper room. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons, which is about 120. So we've got 120 that's listening to Jesus, said that's going to stay there. 120 in this upper room. And they're ready. They're ready to receive the promise. And said, brothers, the scripture had been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who had accompanied us during this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. Now see, they got to select somebody to replace Judas. And they're only going to select somebody who's been with him this whole time, a follower of Christ, who wasn't counted among the 12, but who was with them from the beginning, from the baptism of Jesus by John, all the way to the resurrection. We've got to add somebody to the 12. And they put forth two in verse 23, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So what happened? They cast lots to decide this. Extremely spiritual thing here. This is how they had to decide. Why did they do it this way? Why did they cast lots? The Holy Spirit hadn't fallen in power to guide them. So they weren't able to have that leading and that power of the Holy Ghost to be able to select. So you know what? By casting lots, they are put into the hands of the Lord. Lord's going to select this one. Okay? Real spiritual process, but this is the last time we see it in Scripture that lots were cast to make a decision. And, you know, this was prophesied in the Old Testament about Judas being replaced. This is what's so beautiful about the Word of God, how it just fits together like a glove. I love it. How it was prophesied and then the prophecy was fulfilled. It's awesome. So Matthias was the one selected to replace Judas. Now, let's hear from him on this. Let's turn our attention to the screen and we're going to hear from him about how he was selected and what took place. So after the lights go down, we'll play this video.
Yes. Sometimes our future, it's just chosen for us. It's nothing we ever intended or we would even dream of. It just takes us by surprise. I was there. I saw it with my own two eyes. I saw Jesus getting baptized by John the Baptist. I saw him heal that blind man. He cast demons out of people. And that little girl. He raised that little girl from the dead. I talked with Mary when she came back from an empty tomb. And I was there that night that Peter wanted to replace Judas. And it came down to two people, Barsabbas and myself. And we would cast lots to decide. I was devoted. There's no question about that. I trailed him wherever he went. I watched his every move. But this, God would either call me or he wouldn't call me. Either way, I knew I would never be the same man again. And then suddenly, it was me. God chose me to be one of the 12. Amazing. And it was almost like a whisper. Sometimes your future is just chosen for you. I knew what I had to do. The answer was clear. I would not just watch him. I wouldn't just trail him. I will follow him. With complete abandon, I will trust him completely. I will go wherever he goes. I will love God. And I will love others. And I will lead.
Amen. So is Jesus saying to you, be an apostle right now? You know, no. But he is saying, be numbered. Be numbered. See, Matthias, he was numbered as one of the 12. That's what we read. He was numbered and he took his responsibility and he fulfilled his responsibility. So when Matthias was chosen for that, you know, role, that service, he stepped into that role. And he did it without question. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, will we be not just numbered as a Christian, like one of those statistics, like a number like that, but will we be numbered by God as one who truly gave our all, that gave everything to and followed and decided, you know what, that's the most important thing in my life is to bring glory to God. Does that mean go quit your job and, you know, get a robe and a staff and go out on the street and preach? No. That means you bring glory to God by doing the best that you possibly can at your job. That you go and you put that smile on your face and make people wonder why you're so happy. Because you're serving God with everything that you've got. You're in the Word, you know the Word, you know who you are, you're a child of God, and you're out there, and people just can't wait to find out what you know. Make it that way. Be numbered. This is how we should respond to the question of who do you say I am? It should be with action. It should be, I'm going to take up my cross daily, as the Scripture says, and follow Him no matter what. I'm going to do whatever the Lord leads, and I'm going to open up my heart and say to Him, open any door that you would have for me. If it's to speak to my neighbor on this day, a family member on that, a friend here, a friend there, or whoever I come in contact with, me, Lord, use me. Use me to reach others. Our response should be as His disciples, proclaiming the gospel and being a witness to those around us. Let's all stand. You know, there's this question that we've been asking of who do we say He is? It's such an important question. And we know that He is God. He is Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And we could go on and on, Prince of Peace, just the names and of who Christ is. But see, there's one question that we need to ask ourselves. Does everyone else that I come in contact, all the people around me, do they know who I am? Do they know who I am? Not, oh no, that's TJ. That's not what I'm talking about. Do they know who I really am? I'm a child of God. See, I've got a last name, and it's Hall, and I'm proud of that last name. I'm proud to be this man on the front, his son. He passed his last name on to me. I'm proud of my family, my father and my mother on earth. But I am a child of God first and foremost. He knew me in the womb before my parents even knew me. I am a child of God. Does everyone else know who I am? Not TJ Hall, but TJ, son of God, in the house, as a son in the family of God, adopted in and can't be written out. Amen? I can't be written out as long as I believe that Jesus Christ, that He did rise from the dead, that He rose from the dead, and I know and I confess with my mouth that He is Savior. So that question, do they know, all of those that you come, do they know who you are? And see, if they don't, and you know, look, I know I'm bringing a little bit of a seriousness, a little bit of a heaviness, just a little, just because it's so important. Because see, the mission that they were given in the early church here, you know, before the Holy Spirit fell and then Peter went out and preached and 3,000 came to God. I mean, it was awesome. You know, they went out and they proclaimed and they were the witnesses. And see, they were selecting Matthias and he was saying, You've got to be one of these witnesses to go out here to help us. You got to be one of those. And it was Jesus who said to his disciples and all those who were there listening, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was what Jesus said. So our mission is to go. And look, it's not that we have to, you know, we come into work and we're coming in and we've got that smile, yeah, and we just go, and they say, hey, how you doing? Praise God, I'm doing great. You know, I mean, it's a little weird. That's not what I mean. I just mean letting God just come through. Don't be weird. Don't be a fruitcake. I hate fruitcake. Tastes terrible. If you love fruitcake, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend, but I'm not. That's just not my thing. So let God shine out. This morning, just this, you know, I imagine how that Christ was risen from the dead. And, you know, and it talks about how the, you know, the soldiers there and the light and all, you know, all the stuff. And I just imagine that had to be pretty blinding, you know. When I come in a room, I hope that I brighten the room. I hope when you come into your room at work or wherever you are at work or at home or just wherever you are in the neighborhood that you shine. Can we just pray this morning and ask God, say unto the Lord, Lord, we know who you are. Lord, help us to go from here and be that witness, to proclaim the gospel unashamed with wisdom from the Lord. Not being funny about it, not being weird about it, just this is who I am. So that people see and they know, and it's a testimony to them. Can we do that this morning? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, and as Mary came and she recognized you when you called her name, Lord, I pray that each one of us would recognize your voice every time you call our name, that you gently nudge us. Lord, that we would walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we're in your word and more as we realize who we are in you and the grace that you've given us, that empowerment that you've empowered us to be your witnesses on this earth. Yes, we didn't witness necessarily, you know, at that time, you know, you raised, but we have witnessed you in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that we would not be ashamed to spread your gospel, that we would not be ashamed to speak your name, to say your name out of our lips. We say that you are Savior. You are God, Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, I thank you that as we go from here and as we begin to proclaim your name, that others would know who we are, that we are children in your family. Lord, that we are in the family of God. And I thank you for an anointing that would rest on each one here that is open enough to receive it right now under the sound of my voice. Lord, that they are anointed from you right now in your Holy Spirit to go from here and proclaim your gospel unashamedly to those around them wherever they walk in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? God is good. Amen. Amen.